Blog Talk Radio.
Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is coming for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The field is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the poor of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose Lord is God, whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts tonight. He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by the strength. A horse is a vain thing. Safety neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waited for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Well, we already know that the name of the Lord, say it with me, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. And we know that the nation whose Lord is God and whose God is the Lord shall always stand. Oh, amen and amen. Again, shall always prosper. That's right, because God is not slack concerning his promises. We hear the positive affirmation of Psalms 33 saying the same thing. That's right, that the Lord is God and God is the Lord, and that he is a God to those who trusteth upon him, who rely upon him, call upon him as being Jehovah Rapha, the healer, as being Jehovah Jireh, the provider, Jehovah Nissi, our righteousness. That's right, Jehovah Tisser, our banner. That's right, and he is all that we need him to be. And he's a mighty conquering God who will do what he said he would do for those who call upon his name. And I don't know about you here on this glorious and victorious day it is, another day that the Lord has made, as we are rejoicing and being glad in it. On the 21st of August, 2016, this is another day. Another opportunity, another page, another epistle that we are keeping track with, that we are recording the mighty great works of the Lord as we are entering in this phase of Shekinah glory, where God is exuberating. Do you hear that word, exuberating? That means expounding. That's right. Showcasing his miraculous and omnipotent power. The power is of such a magnificence, of such a proportion that it can actually penetrate the vortex of the here and now and translate the very powers of heaven upon the earth. That's right, because we know him. We call upon him, and to the anointed and to the appointed, this is our hour of great works, of great miracles, of divine miracles, of divine prophecies coming through. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. This is a hotbed of divine appropriations. We are in the Shekinah glory phase, and we're going to experience the unusual. That's right, the miraculous hand of God on our behalf. Situations that came against us. We didn't know how to get, and because we knew we'd be attacked by the enemy, God said, you know what? I've already fixed it. Now give me the praise. I've broken the hand of the wicked that was attempting to beset and accuse you, and I've turned it in your favor. Now you're going to get that apology. Now you're going to get that financial breakthrough. And you're going to have a clear consciousness, but you will know that it was the Lord. It is the Lord thy God that healeth thee and giveth thee the power to prosper. Nor was not of your capacity, not of your ability, but it was God. And I know with my behalf, it was God. Oh, but God. If I can say the one thing, I'll say one phrase, oh, but God. That's right. It was his hand that broke the very anomaly of the enemy's attack against us. It was his hand that gave us the victory. It is his hand that gave us financial prosperity. It is his hand that touched, healed, and made us whole. It is his hand that broke the back of poverty, that broke the back of lack, that broke the back of hindrance, that broke every negative feather that was in our lives. And truly we know that the authority is given unto those also that believeth and trusteth upon him. That's right. The problem is, and this is a word of prophecy for someone listening out there, I don't know where you are. On either the seven continents, I say seven continents because there are inhabitants in Antarctica that are doing expeditious research, and God bless those brave men and women who have very much so dared against the elements to get the research done. God sees you. He hears you too. Whether you're in Australia, whether you're in Africa, Europe, Asia, South America, North America, Canada, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty there. And here's an unusual word. God is speaking to you now through the voice mounted from on high, saying that you've attempted to make miracles happen in your life. You've listened to other people. You've listened to their counsel. You went about in what they told you to do, but my hand did not direct you at that time. You were in a different season in your life. I hadn't failed you, saith the Lord. I didn't forsake you. I didn't forget you, but it was not your season. You have entered into the season of Shekinah glory, where the latter rain, ooh, I love that, the latter rain will be greater than the first. Because, see, the first rain, it caused moisture to develop into the soil where the potential of the growth mechanism through the soil was evident and apparent. The soil got enriched. Because why? The first rain came. Then the second rain doused. That's right. It gave more moisture into the atmosphere, the ionosphere, the stratosphere. But all the third component, third compositor, the latter rain comes with authority, saying, okay, the ground has been wet. The vegetation has been touched. But oh, here comes the drenching, where things begin to manifest. That latter rain, this is your word, grab it. The latter rain is what produces the illustrious vegetation, the innumerate capacity of growth and potential opportunity, branching like the cedar of Lebanon. This is the season, it's my season, for great prosperity and miracles to just fall upon me. And I'm receiving those miracles. That's two bad, wonderful things to happen. But here, waiting on that third miracle, that's the backbreaker, and that's going to come in three sets, the power of three, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, these three agree in one. But now you are at that phase where God is going to break through the very elementation, the very duration of time and standardized measurement through your situation. You are going to receive an excellent report. Read the excellent report by mail or by phone call about a situation that you've been worrying about. Notice the hand of God. This is your season. It will experience the kind of glory and the power of the latter rain. And this news is going to cause you to truly rejoice and thank God. Know it was God. Know it was God. Just acknowledge that. And praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for making it possible, for giving us that competitive edge, that advocacy,
with our Heavenly Father. Because sin has separated us from having that long, eternal relationship with Him. So if it had not been for the Lord, on our side, where would we be? His sacrifice brought us back to the Father and brought us into a cleanly relationship with Him, where we experience the synchronicity, the light of the rain, that's right, that comes through the faith of Shekinah glory. This is growth time. I see nothing but green, but growth, but prosperity. This is the season for it. So whatever your area of prosperity of desire is, grab hold on it. Maybe an intense and extensive financial breakthrough. Maybe some business investments that you've made that seem to have soured in the previous season. Leave it alone. Leave it back there. Receive the Shekinah glory, the anointing. That's right. That brings forth the latter rain and watch it reproduce beyond your wildest degree of expectation. That's right. When you thought you were going to get one amount, God is going to multiply. See the number seven. Seven represents the completeness of God and His divine creation. So I'm expecting a sevenfold. That's right. Multiplicity factor of miracles, finances, health, relationships, restoration. Somebody's out there in listening land who's been attempting to bring forth a relationship. You understand? It's at a standstill. And God seems to be going downhill, condescending. The Lord said, I am fixing the heart of that person who you believe has wronged you. This is the season. So we're in the season now. It's time for God's children to grab hold of these promises. This is the word of knowledge for you. God has already proven it to me, and He's doing it in my life. It's time for you. Rise up. Get up from that bed of affliction that kept you down, depression. Depression is a demonic presence attempting to drain you, to get you off focus, off the kilter, off the grid, to get your eyes on the circumstances of the world, the people involved, and get you distracted from the very presence of God. This is Shekinah glory time. It's the time that you receive that which God has promised, and He's bringing it into the physical manifestation phase. And I tell you, I want all the goodness and all the greatness that God has for me. I need it and I want it now. Not just for myself, but so that I can give to others. Amen. Because what is the very wealth of this world if you can't share it and help and bless others? That's why God allows us wealth. That's why God allows us prosperity, so that we can give testimony. That means verbal information of what God has done, and we can share the wealth of our blessings with others. That's right. And I tell you, what better way than money? Because money answers all things. That's right. With money, you can break the back of poverty. With money, you can destroy life. With money, you can deter the hand of the enemy, because that's a system of exchange that is utilized upon the earth. Well, you take that money and multiply to the anointing of God, as I am doing now, as I'm speaking the words announced to you, and the anointing and the appointing, we are unstoppable, unpreventable, and we are moving forward and progressing the kingdom of heaven. To God be the glory for His unspeakable gift of salvation. It opens the door to all of these wonderful benefits. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ now, I don't care what continent you're in, whatever time zone you're in, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty there. You need to confess, you need to repent, and turn your life over to the Lord. You don't have to speak the Emancipation Proclamation, but our sincerity, Lord, I am a sinner. Save me according to your loving kindness. Stay with me right now. If you've fallen by the wayside, if you got to the point you got confused, say, you know, religion is confusing me. First of all, God is not a religion. He's a reality. He is a spirit. He created the universe. He created you and I. We were first and spirit children. He encased us in flesh, a shell, through natural conception, gestation. We came through the birthing process. But God has already predestined us for the foundation of the world to believe who we'd be, what our strength, what our witnesses would be. But He created us. Why? Because He had already a begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Messiah, our Savior. But then He wanted an extended family. We are part of that extended family. So you need to repent, confess, upon confession of your sins, acknowledge that, Father God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know because I was what? Born unto sin and shaken unto iniquity. I came in this world as a sinner. But Lord, I'm asking that you forgive me for my sins from day one when I arrived upon the planet Earth until this time now. And Lord, because you have forgiven me, I receive the gift of salvation through the knowledge and wisdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. I confess that God the Father, you created this world. You created me in your own image. And that the Lord Jesus Christ is my Lord, my Savior. He redeemed me from the curse of sin and eternal separation. And that through him, I am more than a conqueror because you loved us so. And thank you for forgiving me and allowing me to be reclaimed, revived, refreshed, and renewed in thy presence, O God. And God, I walk this day henceforth as a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. I accept the gift of salvation and the infiltration of the Holy Spirit that you will send to teach me, to lead me and guide me into all truth. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen. You've spoken the truth. You've spoken the truth. Now open up your heart and let God send you the Holy Spirit. That's right. All you have to do is to open up your heart and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's right. Water baptism is important because it shows the death of the flesh, the cleansing of the water, and the resurrection of walking in the newness of life. So water baptism is fundamental, whether it's in the name of Jesus Christ, because he is of the Father, he is the Son, and he is definitely the conduit of the Holy Spirit. These three agree in one. You can't take one and reject the other two. They come as a trilateral union. That's right. So, upon baptism, your salvation is sealed. You're saved. You're not going to hell. You're not going to Hades because you have been reclaimed back into God's family. That's right. You were always a child of God, but now you're a beloved child of God. Because why? Father God can see you through the eyes of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only way he can look at any of us because all of our righteousness are filthy rags. So upon the confession of your faith, your repentance, and your belief that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God, you are saved. You are saved. You are spared because judgment is coming upon this world. It's coming more quicker and more expeditious than anyone could ever imagine. That's right. We're seeing the headlines. We're seeing all of these things that are happening. Once the new president, she takes office. And then we're going to see a progression of things that begin to take place in this world. Because it's already been prophesied. That's right. Wars and rumors of wars, divisions between nations, combativeness, hatred, malice, household against household, famines, pestilences. Look at what's going on back in Louisiana. God is trying to confirm his message, and we need to make sure that we pick up that parcel and read it carefully. So you need to be saved. You need to receive the gift of salvation. And to those of you who have just gotten away from the faith, God hears you. He sees you, and he's ready to receive you back into his kingdom. All you've got to do is say that prayer and ask that God revive you in the spirit of his presence. God will reclaim you back. But you, because you left for a reason. You left because you were not satisfied. You didn't feel that you were good enough. You know something? Let me tell you something what Apostle Paul said. If there was ever a man who had a great testimony, Apostle Paul said, what? All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. This man had a pagan past as being a non-sympathizer toward believers who was cruel and vindictive in his character. Roman military high-ranking officer he was, who committed much treachery. When God got tired of him, and he said he was going to give him a miraculous transformation in his life, and Apostle Paul became that front-line man, the second chief apostle in line, the great correspondent, the great orator in the kingdom of heaven. And his
messages echoed throughout Asia Minor and throughout civilization. Why? Because he was the chief spokesman. He always compared his past to his present, and he let people know that I'm a changed man. If God took me down the road of Damascus and smote me blind, I had to be led down a knife and survivor and to go to their house. That's right. And I had to receive my sight after the apostle laid hands upon me. That's right. And God saved me. He cleansed me. He made me altogether new. And if he did it for a man like Paul, who was called that time before he received the great transformation, he was Saul of Tarsus, and changed him into Paul the Apostle, he can do it for you. So come back home, because God is calling you to come back home. He wants to do some great things in your life. And this is the Shekinah glory season. What a wonderful time to come back home, where you can receive the benefits of God's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent power. Amen. So praise the Lord. We thank you for listening in with Madison on High. You've got your host, the most from coast to coast, your lecturer, the Esquire, Abby A. Phelps, known as the Motor City Maharani. Amen. We're going to go back to the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew, and we're continuing on with our message. What's our message? Change your attitude to increase your latitude. We're talking about attitude exchange. That's right. We're talking about transformation within you. God can do all these wonderful things for us, but we need to walk in the spirit of humility so that we can constantly acknowledge, lo and behold, that it is him. Amen. So let us read the 21st verse of the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew. I know we've read it at the last broadcast, but I feel the need for us to go back there. Ye have heard it was said of them of old times, that means in times past, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But we already know that in Exodus the 20th chapter, when God actually being constituted and formulated the Sixth Commandment, we know that killing is wrong. The first thing we say kill, we think about using weaponry or some form of defensive mechanism or arsenal to cause physical harm or combative behavior upon another, and to the point that that person may give up the ghost or lose their life. Well, we know that that's wrong, because God is the giver of life. It is only he, whose sustainability, that should be permeated to take that life. That's right. And actually, God does not take that life. God exchanges that life. Let me tell you something. And this is divine revelation here, so you get your pen and your paper out, and you write this down for the record. I've said it before, and many of us have said it. The Lord took my husband. The Lord, I've heard a man say, the Lord took my wife. No. God makes a pact, an agreement with each and every one of us of our time of departure. It's an assignment. That's right. Do assignments continue on? Some assignments continue on 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. It's based upon assignment, placement, and assignment. When a person becomes low in their body, and God gives everyone a chance, he communicates with that person, whether it be by way of the angels. Do you want to stay or do you want to go? And that person says to the Lord, and they see the other side of Apostle Paul, so they say, he said, you know what? I saw the other side. It was waiting for me. He said, but I know. It grieves me that I have to stay with you on this earthly terrain. So he was given a choice. He knew that he couldn't depart right then. He wanted to. He saw the beauty of paradise, of heaven. But he decided. He knew that his course had not been completed. So God gives them, and all of us, the opportunity to say, yeah, you attend the same day. God doesn't take anybody. That's a lying deception of mankind. And I've heard people say, the Lord gives, the Lord taken away. Listen, we're talking about Job. That's something totally different. That he was talking about in certain aspects of life, some things occur. But we don't have the right attitude. We don't have the attitude of gratitude. Sometimes the Lord does detract things, but he knows that we're humble, we're doing right, and we desire, even if we desire to do right and fall short, he's not going to allow the enemy to take anything that he's allowed us to have. God doesn't work like that. That's a lie of deception. So God gives everyone an opportunity to go or to stay. And they're ready to go.
It may break our hearts. We don't see them on the physical plane, but we know that they're in the hands of the Lord. Because to be absent in the body when you're a believer is to be present with the Lord. And when you're on the right side of the equation, you live in paradise. Who would ever want to come back to this terrain after seeing paradise? No one wants to come back. That's why a lot of people don't come back. So just know that and be confident in knowing that this is not so. And try to make God seem like he's a cruel hand. No, he doesn't deal that way. There's a lying deception of the enemy. So get that right. So killing is wrong because you're taking matters into your own hands. That's why killing is wrong. You don't have the right to take a life. You don't have the right to murder. God is the only one that has the right to judge and to pass judgment. We don't. We can say that things are wrong. I'm going to tell you something's wrong because you know something? I'm not going to be held accountable for things that I didn't speak about and I knew that they were not pleasing to the Lord. So I'm going to tell the truth. But I'm not going to murder someone because they're out of compliance or out of order. I'm going to speak the truth in love and hope that when I do, that person takes consideration and gets their life right, okay? He said, but listen to this, 22nd verse, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And he said, you turn around and get mad with somebody based upon what someone says, I can't stand so I could just kill them. You know something, you're talking foolish, number one. By your words are you justified, and by your words are you condemned. You are setting yourself up to failure. Because when you have malice in your heart, malice translates to hatred. That's right. Hatred is like a slow-moving disease, flesh-eating disease that's devouring you. It's devouring your creativity. It's devouring your knowledge. It's devouring your progression. It's devouring you as a person. It's changing and altercating your character. It's deterring you and destroying you. So that's the reason why we have to be clean. That's right. People offend us. We get angry with some things people say and do, but we take it to the Lord, and we present it to that person. And when we do that, we have to forgive. We are charged to forgive. And if you don't forgive, you know something you can't get. That's right. So you can forget getting because you're not going to receive anything. So in doing so, who shall say unto his brother, Reka, shall be in danger of counsel. That means that people are going to look back at you and say, well, you know what, you're not so perfect yourself. But whoso shall say to him, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire, Gehenna, in this term, in the Greek terminology. And you can read James, the second chapter, the 20th verse, and you can also read James, the third chapter, in the 6th verse. It talks about the power of the tongue. The tongue is so much in how you say, in a manner that it's the most murderous, most lethal arsenal that we have on our bodies. The most lethal arsenal we have is not a Serenite special. It's not a revolver. It's not a shotgun. It's not a rifle. That's right. It's not a 38 caliber. It is the tongue. People have died because of things that have been spoken with their tongue. Relationships have been severed because of the tongue, because of the attitude that was gained from the momentum of the tongue. The very end result of what the tongue spoke has killed many friendships. So this is the reason why we're advised, we're counseled by the word of God to watch what comes out of our mouth. Because by our words are we justified, and by our words are we condemned. That means, are we going to cause bad things to come into our atmospheric existence? When we do this, we're being in danger of hellfire. That means you're going to suffer. That's right. You're going to see things happen in your life that are not going to be pleasant because of the attitude. You've got to change your attitude to increase your latitude. See, your tongue determines how far you go and how far you grow and how well and how most rapidly you get there. Okay, so that's why we have to be careful because, see, think about it. God, our Heavenly Father, spoke all things into living existence. He's given us the embodiment to speak things into existence. And when we have, because we have inherited that trait, we must be careful about what we say and how we say it. He says, now, therefore, thou bring thy gift to the altar, means lay aside your position or who you believe that you are, and your authoritative measure, which God has given you. He has given it to us. We didn't merit anything, and we didn't come inheriting anything.
But he gave it to us out of his infinite mercy. And then remembrance that thy brother has an ought against thee. That means there's something separating the two of you. What you have to do is you have to forget what your position is, forget what you're doing, and say, leave thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. What is he saying? First, go back to that person who offended you or whom you know you have offended and say that you're sorry, you know, for being angry with that person. And, you know, and because you were angry with that person, you were wrong, and this was turbulent in your spirit, and you had to get this right. Now, whether that person receives you or not, you've done your work. You've done it right. And sometimes people say, well, I never went to the person. I just started, you know, back talking to them. Well, that's fine. As long as you get it right and you reconcile. Well, number one, you got to reconcile with God first. Then everything else will follow thereafter. Then you come back and pick up what you were doing as you were assigned to do. 25th verse, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him. That means sometimes you have to talk some things down. Sometimes you know people are wrong. You know they're not acting in the right spirit. But okay, then yeah, you're right. All right, yes, you are. He's saying all the while, God help this person because they are not thinking sanely at all. And then you forgive them. And then let's say any time thy adversary delivers thee to the judge, that means that any time they turn around and revert against you and publicly humiliate you in front of others. And the judge of liberty to the officer, and I be cast into prison. What is he saying? What's our Messiah saying? Lest that person turn around and revive against you so to the point that you may need, law enforcement to come in and to give some balance. Some people are so agitated and aggravated in this time, in this day, they will actually try to physically hurt you because they are not pleased with what's going on in their life. And we got to make sure it's being God's anointed and appointed that we do not give the enemy opportunity to attack us, so we have to be careful with that, okay? So this is why he's warning us. He said, verily I say unto you, thou shalt not in no means come out to thence, for thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. That means if you've given that person great consideration, you need to get it and get it right, okay? Don't let things linger. I've seen people that get mad with each other 1 year, they go 5 or 6 years, don't speak to each other, and then lo and behold, you know, something happens to that person or misfortune, and the first thing they say, I feel so bad about it. No, get it straight here and now. Change your attitude to increase your latitude. Sometimes we're not wrong, but sometimes we have to revert from our stand. We're not compromising, we're just being conciliatory. We're condescending to men of low estate. 27th verse, you have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. That means that women need to dress like ladies and conduct themselves in a mannerism that is not provocative so that they gain respect. And men need to have restraint and realize that God created you to have one woman, a wife, a helpmeet. Not several wives and several helpmeets. You can only have one. We're operating under grace and truth. We're not operating under the concubine dispensation. When many have said, Solomon was a wife, may have many wives, but no, that's before the fullness of salvation, the New Age church came into existence. We are part of that New Age, New Phase church. When God says one man to one woman, that is the allowable ratio. And that one man is your husband, ladies, and that one woman, gentlemen, is your wives. That is all that there is. No side lovers and side chicks, as the world is saying. The world is going to Hades because they're delegating to do so. So do not look upon another woman for any other gratification outside. Your wife is your helpmeet. She helps you to get the edge off when those carnal feelings come because everybody can contain. You know, some people can contain as being Christians and remain single carried throughout their lives and do great works for the Lord. But there are some who are compromised in the flesh, whether it's through experience or psychosis, cannot contain. And it's better to marry than to burn. Okay? So one wife, one husband, we will revert from any possibility of committing adultery. Because God commanded we can't do it because adultery shows disrespect for the covenant that you've made. That's why it's so dangerous. Nothing ever comes good out of adultery. It doesn't. 29th verse, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it's more profitable for that one of thy members should what? Perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. What is he saying? Well, our Lord is saying, you know what? If something gets on your nerves and it's causing you to condescend, causing you to become carnal, causing you to advert from what your mission and your goal is, and God is so attentive for you, remove it from you. Sometimes it's a close friend. Sometimes it's an associate family member. It may even be someone at your workplace. And sometimes it's even your children. You know, sometimes you have to cut them off. That doesn't mean you totally disband their existence, but you have to limit your associations with that person. And you have to keep it on a nominal level. But it doesn't become so extensive. It can, or intensive, I should say. It has to be extensive. You reaching out, but intensive means you're taking it in. Some things you're not going to be able to take in as being an obedient child of God. So you have to be respectful of that and not condescending. So when you see those things, get rid of them. That's right. Because you're going to end up losing out. You're going to end up losing out. And listen, I know we've spoken a great word for the Lord today. And keep that word and know that you have to change your attitude to increase your latitude. We're coming back to you real soon. So be looking on the page of blogtalkradio.com and check out our upcoming broadcast. And we're going to continue on because we got to get some attitudes adjusted here because God is doing all this in the season that we're in. I don't want you to miss the wave. I want you to catch the wave. And so be blessed and be prosperous. That's right. And receive your miracles from this moment on because it's here. We are the hotbed of the Shekinah glory season where the latter rain is falling and all the abundance is in our atmosphere. You've got your host with the moon from coast to coast. That's why Abby A. Phillips saying, have a blessed and productive Sunday. We'll see you real soon. Oh, yeah.